You are listening to the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
The FDA is about to get a lot more muscle.
More money and more power.
Sweeping new powers.
The most sweeping overhaul of the nation's food safety laws since the 1930s.
Robert Scott Bell.
If you like the efficiency of the post office, the competence of FEMA, and the compassion of the IRS, we will love the nationalized health care bill.
Robert Scott Bell.
The British Medical Journal accused a researcher, Andrew Wakefield, of outright fraud.
People need to look at the details and not look at the headlines.
This is like Salem, the visceral response that they're trying to whip up in the public to try and crush this dissent.
Enough is enough.
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom and making sense out of medical propaganda. The voice of health, freedom, and liberty, Robert Scott Bell.
Yeah, I've often claimed that vaccination is the gateway drug or intervention that guarantees a lifelong dependency and enslavement to Big Pharma and the doctors who prescribe the drugs at the behest of Big Pharma. And Big Government, of course, loves it because of the slush funds and the fines they get to give Big Pharma for damaging and killing the people, all the while making sure that they are continually dependent upon it. Now it comes to light. What I've been saying is absolutely factual, and everything is not satisfactual here. Listen to this. Kids with asthma given unnecessary antibiotics. I just covered a story a couple of days ago off of SaneVax. We talked about the fact that vaccinations, kids that get vaccinated are five times more likely to have asthma than kids who are not vaccinated. Yeah, tell me I'm wrong. No, I am right here. Kids with asthma now given unnecessary antibiotics. It's a new study shows that 1 million children given the drugs inappropriately. Here, I've got the link to the story up there at MSNBC. And it only confirms that doctors are the cowardly drug pushers that they are. And of course, if you're a doctor and you're not upset by what I just said, you don't need to be, because I'm not talking about you. But any of your colleagues that are doing this, there is no scientific foundation or basis to prescribe antibiotics for children with asthma. And if you want to claim the mantle of science, you can't do it. And yes, I realize parents are, you know, that go to doctors with their kids who have asthma are begging docs, you know, it could be anything. Doc, you got to do something. And if the doc's intelligent enough to say, you know, there's nothing I can do here. All of my drugs, I mean, this could be a viral thing. This could be another thing. But it's not a bacterial thing. Why would I give you an antibiotic? Because the parents demand it. And I've heard that excuse done. Well, then prescribe them a placebo. But then, of course, we've got CYA medicine. Cover your aspirin medicine. Because one day the parents are going to come back and sue you for not giving an antibiotic, even though it was scientifically unsound and inappropriate. You see what a disaster this system is? It is nothing to do with healthcare. Everything to do with drugging and disease management, suppression, and creation of drug dependency. The practice of doing these antibiotics in asthma goes against U.S. international guidelines that say antibiotics should only be used in asthma patients when they are confirmed to be suffering from a bacterial infection, right? Not just doing it just so we can, well, here, take this, be happy, get out of my office. That's not what you went into doctoring for, is it? Now, if you have inflammation in the airways, that's a legitimate problem. And as I said, gateway drug vaccinations create a lot of damage to the gut and the liver. And then the body is intelligent. Creation, life itself is very intelligent. The body says, hey, we can't get it out through the liver. Our gut's busted up. Hey, there's another outreach here. We got another escape route. It's those lungs. He's got two of them. Let's start dumping some of this garbage in there. And of course, these toxins, these inflammatory components, waste components, end up creating inflammatory responses. And there you have the inflammation of the alveoli, the air, you know, the air passages and such. Yeah, bingo, asthma. Where is the doctor, the pulmonary doctor that is saying, hey, you know, we should look into detoxification for your child? Where's the doctor that's out there saying, hey, maybe we should look at the gut health? Maybe this kid's not digesting things well. And because of that, not getting the minerals in for proper function, proper elimination, proper excretion, detox. And so the respiratory system's getting hammered here. But no, we're going to give them corticosteroids. And it even says in this story that children on corticosteroids are 2.7 times more likely to receive antibiotics than those that are not on the anti-inflammatory medication. By the way, the corticosteroids, immune suppressant drugs. So they're more likely to get colds and flus and other things that might hamper their respiratory system. Hello, doctor. Is anybody home? McFly, do we have any thoughts that are our own, or are they all programmed into us by Big Pharma? In addition, doctors may prescribe antibiotics because they aren't sure if a child's respiratory symptoms are due to asthma or other respiratory illnesses such as pneumonia. You're not sure. You get your all the intelligence of the world, all the tests you got, you're not sure. And of course, we can address these things homeopathically. I've told you these remedies over the years. Those of you who are new to the Robert Scott Bell Show, I'll list a few of them right now. Start with Bryonia alba, B-R-Y-O-N-I-A, the common hops in homeopathic form, because it's a liver polycrest, and the liver is where this is all starting. Helps with the lungs as well, a lot of coughs and such. Then you have Antimonium tartaricum, which is a powerful polycrest remedy for the lungs. Any kind of symptom for lungs related, a lot of times Antimonium tartaricum can be of some assistance. Beautiful thing about homeopathic medicine, if it doesn't work, it's okay. You are not going to be harmed by it. Don't worry. That's why you can take a complex remedy for the lungs that has a lot of different, have a lot of different ingredients in it. That's okay too. There's also Drosera with a D as in dog, D-R-O-S-E-R-A, and Spongia tosta, toasted sponge, which is a wonderful remedy. Drosera and Spongia tosta. But liver is everything. Liver is everything. And remember, if you like herbs, one of the greatest herbs for the pulmonary system, lung system, any kind of, whether it be asthma, pneumonia, whether it be COPD, if you take this over time, you take a drop or dropper full of the tincture of lobelia, L-O-B-E-L-I-A, lobelia tincture, amazing. You drop that into water, just sip on the water over the course of a couple of hours every day. You're not going to get toxic with that kind of dosage and way to take it, but you'll do wonders for the health of your lungs and recovery. And no, don't look to the FDA to tell you the things I've told you. They don't want you to know this information. Heck, I mean, remember, they went after ephedra. They banned ephedra, an ancient Chinese medicine. Not pseudoephedrine, but ephedra that was also helpful in asthma and was not killing people utilizing it appropriately. But, of course, it competed with asthma medications, inhalers, and the like. So a lot of this information that you hear here on the Robert Scott Bell Show, you clearly will not hear in your doctor's office. Unless they have the intelligence God may have granted them and they're willing to use it. They're not operating in fear of loss of licensure. Again, privileges, rights. I'm not going there today. We got a lot. Actually, I might. I got Tom Wood scheduled for later in the day. We've got some nullification coming up this weekend in Los Angeles, as well as the Survivalist Conference. That's right. I'm going to be at the Survivalist Conference in Dallas, Fort Worth, Texas. I'll have the links up at the blog at robertscottbell.com as well. And if you haven't signed up for the newsletter at naturalnewsradio.com, you'd be updated there. Please just put your email in there. You will be updated accordingly. Otherwise, you may find yourself victimized by modern medicine and the crazy doctors willing to put you on antibiotics for anything. This one doctor was sort of urging caution here. He says physicians should do as good a job as they can distinguishing asthma symptoms from other disorders, but they should also take the time to inform their patients about their decisions. And I asked this question the other day as well. If you still go to doctors, do they actually talk to you more than 3 minutes? The study found here that physicians who took the extra time to explain the asthma treatment they were providing were 50% less likely to prescribe antibiotics. Yeah, if you could take the time to do so. Patients should also be sure to ask their doctor why they are receiving a prescription for antibiotics. Of course, if you do, those that have given you that won't want to see you. Oh, don't come back. Don't ask me questions. But I love it when you ask me questions. In fact, we got some questions coming up. My dear friend Liam Sheff contacted me earlier today. Said, hey, Robert, I got some questions for you. I said, well, if you got questions for me, that means other people do too. Maybe you should ask them on the air. He said, okay. So we're going to do that. We're going to dive into that. Remember, it all starts with gut health, the destruction of vaccinations, resulting in all of these many myriad of conditions, 5 times more likely to get asthma, and then, of course, how many more times likely to get antibiotics like I had. So my good friend Liam Sheff, investigative journalist, is going to be on with me here on the Robert Scott Bell Show to ask me some questions. We may go to, yeah, we've actually got a discussion starting this thing out with a horrific story about AIDS and AIDS drugs. Oh, take your drugs, it stops AIDS. No. We'll tell you the truth about that as well. Coming right back with more powerful healing and my good friend, Liam Sheff, after the break.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hello, this is Jonathan Wagner. We have an internet website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, that carries many of the products discussed on Robert's show, including the 100% whole food chromium and selenium, silica, as well as sovereign silver and Nordic naturals. ChooseToBeHealthy.com features the Rolls-Royce of probiotics. It's Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. Dr. O'Hara, a world-renowned microbiologist, formulated a unique probiotic that blends ancient Japanese fermentation methods with 21st-century technology. No refrigeration is needed. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics contains the strongest lactic acid bacteria known to man based on scientific laboratory research. 6.25 times stronger. Quite simply, it works and works very well. So go to our website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, or call us toll-free, 866-424-1077. That's 866-424-1077. We're here to help.
What do you think? Call Robert now at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL.
Why is it so many people suffer from so many illnesses today? Why don't doctors know how to help you? Could it be that our doctors don't know how because there's a nutrition solution and they only know about drugs? Over 68 diseases are known to be connected to a deficiency of glutathione. The missing ingredient to increasing your body's production of glutathione is cysteine. Raising your glutathione production protects you from cancer, heart disease, Parkinson's, macular degeneration, lung disease, digestive diseases, diabetes, Alzheimer's, ALS, rheumatoid arthritis, and lupus. Nature's richest source of cysteine is unheated whey. Heating can damage much of the cysteine. One World Whey is the first undamaged whey protein powder on the market. Using One World Whey may support optimal glutathione production unlike any other food or supplement you've ever taken. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
Making sense out of medical propaganda. Here's Robert.
How's your immune system? More or less, I should ask, how's your blood pressure? When I read this story, I knew I had to get Liam Schiff back on board here on the Robert Scott Bell Show. It's out of the New York Times in their Week in Review section, and I've got it linked up at the blog at robertscottbell.com. It says, drugs, stop, AIDS, period. Take your medicine, period. It's like a telegram from the medical elite telling you don't listen to anything. Don't read the drug inserts. Don't read the test inserts. Nothing. All that has been revealed by Liam Schiff, my dear friend. Welcome back to the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert, what are you trying to hurt me?
No. We got to let this out because there's still so many people that haven't gotten word on this.
1987, the CDC, the FDA approves a drug. The drug's called AZT. It's a cancer chemotherapy drug. It stops your bone marrow from producing. It stops your body from producing blood. They let it onto the market for so-called AIDS patients. Now, who are AIDS patients? They're guys who were given what? Way too many drugs, did too many street drugs, too many party drugs, had no immune system left. They got sick. The medical establishment, when you get sick, they give you more antibiotics. Big surprise, when you've been taking antibiotics for years and you don't have an intestine left, giving you more antibiotics doesn't help. Actually, it hastens your death. So they put this chemotherapy drug. Not only do these guys not have an intestine, now they don't have blood. AZT, a gift from the FDA to the gay community, to the world community that they diagnosed with AIDS. The death rate quadruples. It's going from about 10,000 a year to about 45, close to 50,000 a year within 4 years of this drug being on the market. They pull the drug. They say, whoops, but AIDS drugs still save lives.
Well, it's a death tragedy. It's a culture of death. And we've talked about this. You've covered it for so many years that the AIDS establishment celebrates death. It's just so bizarre. We've lost friends to the disease, but no, not the disease. No, not the syndrome, but the treatment. Those that have been wisened up in time have been salvaged from the drugs. But we just lost a dear friend. I was at her memorial service. I talked about it. Carrie Stokely, who had been on these medications, albeit at lower dosages than the early years of AZT, for over 10 years, but it absolutely devastated her system and ravaged her intestinal tract, in addition, as you mentioned, to antibiotics, and leads into our discussion of gut health here today. But they seemingly will not stop, and I don't even call it, this is beyond insanity. I mean, this is madness.
Where's that girl who used to come on the TV screaming, "Stop the madness"? Where did she go? I need her right now.
Susan Powder. That's right. Stop the madness. Stop the insanity. This is the network moment. Mad as hell. Not going to take it anymore as well. When I see this, I was like, you know, my blood boils, your blood boils. I can't imagine, but there's so many people still duped by this, believing that AIDS is evidence of a drug deficiency of some kind, and that HIV, its so-called presence, which can't actually be verified by those tests, much less its reality, is somehow evidence of a lack of a particular drug, whether it be AZT or AZT modified, or the heart therapies, as they were called. And, you know, this dangerous beat still goes on.
It sure does. You know, HIV tests come up positive for every disease that poor people have in rural countries without clean water. That's the big joke. The test is essentially asking you if you're poor enough, you know, if you're hungry enough, if your immune system is battered enough by local malaria or tuberculosis infections. And then they come along with these drugs, these AZTs or these nevirapines that peel your skin off, so on and so forth. So the New York Times, what does Mike Savage call it, the old York Times, comes out, oh, Lawrence Altman, who invented the term Wiley retrovirus and talked about how it was hard to purify and all that kind of stuff. In other words, there's no particular thing there. There are a lot of cellular phenomena there. So now they're coming forward again and they're saying, drugs stop AIDS, period. Take your medicine. How many hundreds of thousands of trusting gay men in their ghettoized communities have said, okay, I'll take my medicine, and they die in their 30s or 40s, in their 30s or 40s taking these drugs. Now, I have friends who were given one of these make-believe HIV test diagnoses 20-something years ago. They don't take the drugs. They never took the drugs. They avoided the whole thing. Why are they still alive? Gosh, I wonder.
Well, exactly, and I know people like that as well. Carrie Stokely actually put a friend of hers and let him know about me, and he was given this so-called phantom diagnosis based on a test that can't detect the presence or absence of the HIV, as they call it. And it turned out that he had a traditional STD, and he was also pesticide poisoned. And so we're dealing with toxicological diseases. We're dealing with immunodeficiencies, yes, but caused by deficiencies in minerals, for instance, that are not getting into these guys and gals that are given the diagnosis, partly due to a lot of things, or wholly due to a lot of things, I should say, including then the downward spiral that results from the reliance on the drugs, which may have started with vaccines and their damage to the gut and antibiotics and their damage to the gut, and then additives and preservatives and colorings and flavorings and pesticides and herbicides and fungicides. You get all of this, and ultimately they say, well, if your status is such that you're in this risk group and that test is positive, then it definitely means you have this thing called AIDS. If you are an upper-middle-class white woman, not likely. It's probably just a misdiagnosis or a false positive.
That's exactly how it goes. And, you know, I don't mean to bring a celebrity governor into the news, but if we really examined this, what are you talking about, Liam? If we really examine the sex lives of the rich and famous versus the sex lives of the poor and abused who supposedly have a sex disease called AIDS, please.
I mean, how do you explain Charlie Sheen? I mean, he shouldn't be alive.
He shouldn't be walking. He should be in a bottle.
Yeah, exactly. No, and it's a very good point. You've covered it as well. We've talked about the study where they analyzed a discordant couple, supposedly one HIV positive, one negative, throughout the years of that study, zero conversions, if you will, causing another partner to become HIV positive. So there's so many things like that that invalidate the whole concept of AIDS being so-called sexually transmitted, although we would certainly acknowledge that practicing unhygienic activity is not going to be great for your health in general anyway, but does it lead necessarily to death? No, the drugs used to treat the phantom problem are what is causing these deaths, and it still is happening. And when I saw this in the New York Times, I said, oh my gosh, we still got work to do.
Right. You know, the fact is that the problem with the AIDS thing is that nobody really... people might get angry, but nobody really cares because they've kept it isolated. You know, the CDC and FDA have kept it isolated to the at-risk groups. That's how it works. They say that some people who are sick have AIDS, and some people who are sick have chronic fatigue syndrome, or some people who are sick have lupus, or some people who are sick have Gulf War syndrome. But they're the same thing. Over and over and over again, you get these same breakdowns of the immunity, and you get the vaccine damage. But I've got questions for you. I have, like I said, I've got friends who, some of my friends who've been given this fake test diagnosis maybe took the drugs once or twice, right? They were, they were bullied into it. They were tricked into it. This is actually, I know a couple people like this. They were deceived into it. They were told it was in their best interest, and so they did it. At least they did it for a while. Now they're in a situation where they have stayed away from the drugs for the most part, but they took drugs for a while, and they have intestinal damage. And let me think of one friend of mine who actually has a lot of allergies. And when I talk to her about where the allergies come from, it's not known, but they've been there all her life. So I don't know. There are things I don't know how to do. Where do these allergies come from? What do you do to really fix a pharmaceutically damaged intestine?
Yeah.
This can't just be now for people in this fake, AIDS, I think, is immune deficiency is real, but this fake HIV category, this is for all the kids who are now being given 20 vaccines before they're, 6 years old, and all the people in pharmaceuticals, and all the kids now who are put on drugs because they're fed chocolate sugar bombs in the morning, and they fidget in class.
Yeah.
What do we do? How do you fix this? I want to refer to you. You're the guy who studied this. You're the homeopath. How do we fix the intestine?
Well, this has been a lifelong journey for me because I was the canary in the coal mine so early on, Liam, having intestinal problems, vaccine reactions, chronic antibiotic use in childhood, and then diagnosed with multiple allergies. The kind of when they did the skin prick test, they kind of put all these holes on your back and they drop little liquids on it, and pretty much all of them went allergies big time. And so they started me on many immunosuppressive drugs, antihistaminic drugs, anything to work against the body and what it's trying to do and respond to what they call so-called allergens. But many of the allergens are just normally occurring environmental or food-based potential triggers, but in a healthy person, you're not triggered. So the question should become, and eventually was for me, it became, why do I react when my friends don't, right? Why can I be in a room filled with pollen and dust and mold and such and nearly be gagging and wheezing and dying while I have a friend that is in the same room with me and is breathing normally? Maybe he's cracking a minor sniffle at that. It's like, what's the difference here, right? Because it isn't the environment in that case. It's the person. Now, if we look at the individual and we look at the environment within that individual, of course, now we'll see some differences. But as you know, from the allopathic medical perspective, it's all about the trigger. It's all about the allergen, or it's all about the pathogen. And that is, of course, looking in the wrong place. Why does it trigger in me and not somebody else? That's the right question to ask. Why in the school or the daycare center do three kids stay well while 97% of them are ill with the influenza, right? The question is not what caused them to be sick. It's like, why are those three kids healthy? And until we look there, we don't get to any solutions at all. We only breed more problems that need to be managed with more drugs like antihistamines. And then for me, over 10 years of allergy injections.
Well, I'm coming to you. Let's say that my friend comes to me and says, I took these drugs a long time ago, but I still have all these allergies, and I had them as a child. And I say, well, my background is macrobiotics, so I'm going to put you on a whole foods diet. I'm going to give you essential fatty acids. We're going to cook. We're going to learn to cook root vegetables and greens. And you're going to go through your pantry and throw out all the stuff that's white. Anything with the word bleached in it does not go in your body. Just don't eat it. What else? What else do we get? So on and so forth down the line. But then the allergies persist. They continue. Yep. And there are sensitivities and, exposure to certain, foods or toxins brings out a rash or a hive reaction or something like
that. Sure.
So,
well, I think it's most definitely a learned response to some degree because there's habit. Our cells can get into habits as well. Even after we've kind of reduced our exposures to these things, we're set up to overreact. The immune system has learned that certain things are foreign invaders and are dangerous, are threats. And we talk about allergies, they are a hyperimmune response. They're an overreaction to things that normally occur pretty much in the environment. Now, if we talk about overreactions to synthetic perfumes, that may be almost an appropriate response. But again, why does one person go into anaphylaxis while another person is just annoyed, by the perfume, but, basically can survive the encounter? There are a lot of metabolic questions, again, not answered by traditional allopathic medicine. And, at that point, you just look to suppress the symptoms. So why do we overreact? Now, a big part of this is it comes back to what you said, Liam. In fact, it is the gut. It's not only the ecology, but it's the integrity of the lining itself, the little hair-like projections known as the villi. And I think we need to take a break here, actually. This is a fascinating discussion, Liam. It's great to be back with you. LiamChef.com is the website, as well as ReduceTheBurden.org. I have them both linked up on the website at RobertScottBell.com. And if you're already getting the NaturalNews.com newsletter updates every day at NaturalNewsRadio.com, just put your email there if you're not getting them yet. And we'll continue this discussion about repairing the gut. We'll talk allergies. We'll talk about the false immune crisis of HIV. And also what to do to repair these things with my dear friend, Liam Sheff, when we come back after this.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hi, this is Mike Adams inviting you to check out naturalnews.tv. This is a video site, a video community website that's been called the YouTube of the natural health community. It's pretty cool there. You can upload videos, share them, view other people's videos. Right now we're serving over 1.2 million video views a month. We've got a personal health transformation video contest on the site. We've got recipes, superfoods, lectures, interviews, anti-cancer information, diabetes information. I mean, it is just loaded with great videos, how-to videos, knowledge, wisdom, everything you need to know to pursue a natural health lifestyle. Oh, and it's also got a bunch of cool freedom videos from Alex Jones and Jesse Ventura as well, because we are a freedom-oriented natural health website, kind of a health freedom website. Check it out at naturalnews.tv. Again, that's naturalnews.tv.
For thousands of years, silver has played an essential role in safeguarding human health. Robert Scott Bell Show listeners know that Sovereign Silver, bioactive silver hydrosol, is the purest and most effective form of silver available. Only Sovereign Silver contains the smallest and most active particles in every bottle, each batch rigorously safety tested to guarantee the highest quality. At only 10 parts per million, Sovereign Silver outperforms other colloidal silvers 50 times more concentrated. Sovereign Silver acts faster than echinacea, oil of oregano, and other immune products. Tastes like water and has more uses than anything else for the immune system. And Sovereign Silver now comes in a topical first aid gel. Use Sovereign Silver gel on cuts, scrapes, minor burns, bug bites, itching, eczema, diaper rash, and more. Sovereign Silver is the number one selling silver brand in the U.S. For a free information packet to order or for a store near you, call 888-328-8840. That's 888-328-8840 or visit sovereignsilver.com.
Got a question for Robert? Call now at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL.
Did you know that your hormones can be rejuvenated without cancer-causing hormone replacement, including bioidentical HRT? This is Dr. Teresa Dale inviting you to take action with my natural homeopathic formulas. Get relief and balance back into your life. My formulas help heal a variety of health conditions, including menopause or low T. You know you have the power to heal your body and mind, and yes, my system and products will help you do that. They have been proven with thousands of people in before and after saliva tests. You can actually get a saliva test sent to you today, or just start using our formulas for optimal wellness. Learn more at wellnesscenter.net or naturalhealingpro.com, and you can always give us a call at 800-219-1261.
Robert Scott Bell.
Let's take a walk on the wild side.
Alrighty then.
You're everywhere, baby. Radio, TV, the papers. Am I right?
Robert Scott Bell.
Happy belated birthday to my good friend, investigative journalist Liam Sheff, as we continue our discussion. Always candid, uncensored, and fascinating. Great response every time you come on board, Liam, and I'm glad to have you back today.
Yeah, and I'm 40 whole years old. I'm actually an adult today.
Hey, welcome. Welcome to the big bad world of adulthood. We need more of them because we got a lot of immature children running the planet right now.
I think the Onion put forward a news story that said there were 100 adults left on planet Earth.
So. That might be generous, but maybe we can count ourselves among them. I don't know. Let everybody else figure that out.
Yeah. Some days.
Some days, yes. Some days, no. But that's just life. So, you know, we were talking about intestinal integrity, allergies, as well as immune deficiencies, AIDS, all of that. I mean, it's a broad topic, but it seemingly always narrows down to these origin points when you start investigating it the way I've had to learn for my own health and vitality to recover in the way I did, Liam.
The points of diet, nutrition, the points of bodily integrity, the points of what you're making your blood out of. Yeah, sure. The Western model doesn't care about that. It's always a war model. Mm. You know, it's like you're on a battlefield in France in World War One, and they come along and they say, well, you know, sure, the patient's been sprayed with mustard gas, and sure, half the face is gone, but we're going to knit them together and give them a full life as we can using the best technology that we have today. And by the way, if the patient gets sick, if the patient gets the flu, we're going to give them as many antibiotics as possible because that's the solution here.
Yeah, well, it is napalm the entire planet because there might be microbial terrorists lurking about. And, of course, to our own detriment and death, in fact, this model does not work in toto at all the time. I mean, there's a reason that if you have succumbed in a very serious way to an infection and it's caught too late, you can understand the intervention of allopathic medicine. That's crisis intervention. But to stake your entire existence upon it is basically inducing death long before it needs to occur.
And we do, and the AIDS model was expert at that. The AIDS model decided that what happened to some gay men was going to happen to all gay men. Mm-hmm. What happened to some gay men who used way too many drugs was going to happen to everybody who didn't use too many drugs. What happened to some gay white homosexuals in this country and drug users in this country was going to happen to every single poor African. They're really spreading that model around. What about saying, can you get better?
Yeah.
Can we let you get better? Can we help you get better? How do you work? I mean, I'm into the vitamin C thing. You're a silver guy, and I actually want to talk with you about that.
Sure.
I don't know much about that.
But here we are. We're talking about a life-affirming model that is a very big threat to the power structure on planet Earth, and I recognize that. The things that Mike Adams is writing about at Natural News, very dangerous to the power structure of planet Earth, really bringing, as I say, the power to heal back to the people, you know, where it belongs, and not in a communistic way, just in a human right kind of way, and not in a way that violates the rights of anybody else for those that say healing is health care is a right. We don't have health care in America, but even in Canada, where they say it's a socialized single-payer system, doesn't make it a right just because government says we're going to pay for it, which the people sometimes forget that they get the money from the people ultimately. So we want to empower in an appropriate way based on a different kind of model for being, one based in responsibility, not destruction, if you will, or a death cult, in fact, as the AIDS cult has become due to its worship of pharmaceutical pseudoscience. So when we talk about intestinal health, I was talking in the last segment, Liam, with you about the lining itself, the integrity of the lining itself. When you damage or inflame the cells there, and this is done by vaccination, whether they intend to or not, it is what happens. And, of course, followed up often by multiple antibiotic usages, which is, you know, again, my upbringing. You now have created spaces, if you will, or little injuries like cuts or scrapes to the epithelial lining of the intestines, which now allows undigested macromolecules, large protein molecules that were never intended to be digested or absorbed or assimilated through that lining, going directly into the blood and other tissues of the body. And when it is in the blood, these macroprotein molecules are going to elicit an immune response because they're not supposed to be there, Liam. The body knows it. And so, of course, the reaction to it, and then the chronic reaction to it, is considered a hyper and overreaction, an overimmune reaction, because it's always happening. So your immune system never gets a break. It's always on. This is what is with allergies, the hyperhistaminic response. Always on, always on, always on. Now, I've understood this after the fact, learning, you know, by going through this myself, that ultimately the allergic state, if you will, can precipitate immune deficiency because of the hyper or over immune reaction that is going on in a chronic fashion. So ultimately, we can predict cancer in people with allergies if they do nothing to correct the underlying true cause of the allergy. And as I repeat again here, it is not the allergen.
All right, let's get this straight. So let's say I have a friend, and I got a couple of friends in this situation with normal vaccine schedules, and it produced, I think, a lot of allergies in them. Or for some reason, they have more allergies than most people. They ended up with this fake test result. So anytime they can't even go to the doctor. Anytime the doctor wants to talk with them, oh, did you stub your toe? It's you have AIDS-related stub toe disease. Oh, did you sneeze today? You have AIDS-related sneezing disease. So they're terrified. You know, this is the problem of what I generously call Nazi medicine. When you when they give you a fake diagnosis and stick you with it, they don't give you any outs. You can't just go and be treated like a person for anything else. But let's say that my friend wants to go in and say, well, I've had these allergies and I need to heal my gut. What can someone do? Now, like I said, you talk about silver. I really don't know much about it. My background is healing with whole foods, cooking and macrobiotics. So what can you do with silver or aloe? What can you do with probiotics to help the intestine?
But Liam, do they use much mushrooms in probiotic type cooking or if we go macrobiotic type cooking?
Macrobiotics uses something called shiitake mushrooms, which is considered a more yang mushroom. It's a longer growth and it grows on wood, not on poop.
Yeah. Well, you know, what's interesting about the fungi kingdom, if you will, the mushrooms, they have by measure of parts per million, the highest content of silver of any food on the planet. Just, you know, as a point of reference for people as well that don't understand that silver is a naturally occurring trace element on the planet. And a recent scientific peer-reviewed published journal put out the fact that they found silver nanoparticles in soil, naturally occurring. You know, it wasn't engineered by mad scientists. So it's a normal part of our, let's say, mammalian diet or constituency, whether it be in milk. We talk about goat's milk, cow's milk, and human breast milk. All mammal milk contains some silver as well, wheat, whole grains, if the soil contains it, of course. Now, having said that, it's just now you've got to find out what are the properties of these things, just like we look at the properties of vitamin C. The properties of silver have been very well studied over the last 100-plus years. That intrigued me, although as someone in homeopathic terms that has been trained clinically to detoxify patients, particularly of heavy metals, I was worried about silver, not that it would kill people because I knew it wouldn't, but the discoloration potential if you ate the wrong kind or had too much of it in the form of improperly produced or high concentrations of even colloidal silver. But we know that the substance is a broad-spectrum antimicrobial. Now, that could be good in replacing, for instance, antibiotic, antiviral, or antifungal drugs. Okay, I'll give you that. But for me, that wasn't enough because I'm not into the allopathic kill, kill, kill thing. So there's got to be more to this. Why is silver there? Why are there receptor sites on the myelin sheath of the nerve cell for silver as well? More of the properties we've got to discover. What else do we discover? Dr. Robert Becker wrote this seminal book called The Body Electric. And in that book, he found that it would reduce inflammation of tissue that has been damaged, cells that have been damaged, but even more profoundly, that it was stimulating de-differentiation and re-differentiation of stem cells. It would basically stimulate stem cell production, taking corrupt, damaged, differentiated adult cells, take them out of that state back into the stem cell state so they could then re-differentiate back into that adult state, but in a healthy form, really restoring normalcy, if you will, to a cell that had been damaged. So in regenerative medicine, silver plays a very, very vital role in restoration of cellular integrity. And this was shocking to me. I mean, a wonderful way shocking, but the fact of the matter is we need more of this. We need so much of this because of the damage, not only people that have been given the false AIDS diagnosis or certainly the false HIV presence with these tests that don't detect that, but beyond that, even if you never come into contact or ever think you will with a thing called AIDS, the reality is we have all the damage that is happening due to just the diet and lifestyle environmental toxins coming in through food, water, and air.
Can we do that again? Silver turns what cells into – it stimulates them to act like stem cells? Can you do that again?
Sure. Becker's work was the first that really got very deep into confirming the scientific – some of the pathways. Some of them were still unknown. But he found that if he brought the silver nanoparticles, some would say cations of silver, the charged form of silver, down into an area of inflammation, injury, or infection. You know, this was at first animal models and then even with human. It would accelerate tissue regrowth, healing of tissue. Now, it wasn't till even a few years later that there was peer-reviewed journals that confirmed the pathway where it said that it reduced what they call fibrogenic cytokine activity. These are the inflammatory cascades, the cells in, you know, of the autocrine and endocrine system that literally elicit inflammation. The reason being is because initially we've got a lot of debris we've got to clear out. We've got to protect the cells. And it's a very painful process in its acute phase, but usually you get through it on the other side and then healing of tissue occurs. But many people are deficient in certain minerals or very toxic, and they can't get past that phase of inflammation. And they stay stuck in inflammation like that. This is where scar tissue or adhesions form with injuries, for instance, or burns, serious burn care. And if you know the Shriner hospitals, the third-degree burn care centers around the world, use a silver-based drug known as Silvadine for the healing of tissue because it's antimicrobial and it accelerates healing. Now, they may not know all the reasons they're using it, and it's a very crude form of silver compared to the kind of silver I like to work with, but they acknowledge it certainly. Now the growth of silver in medicine is huge with silver stents, silver bandages, silver cleaning agents. They're experimenting with putting silver nanoparticles in drugs to prolong the drug activity like antibiotics, which are failing. So it's a fascinating discovery, and the science is there. The legitimate science that I like, and I know that you like, Liam, is actually there to validate this stuff.
Oh, I like that. That is fascinating because short answer, yes. We use shiitake mushrooms and macrobiota cooking. You're saying mushrooms contain silver. The soil contains silver. You're saying we have receptors in our body for silver?
Yeah, the myelin sheath of the nerve cell. And this explained to me some years ago, which was even more fascinating, because when I was more excited about the regenerative impact of silver than I was about the antimicrobial. Everybody says, oh, colloidal silver kills the bad guys, right? Great, wonderful. And don't discount that. But the reality is, for me, I'm trying to help people heal, get out of that phase of degenerative disease. And in order to do that, we got to do what it takes to regenerate healthy new tissue. Now, there are some other minerals we can talk about to help to do that. But silver played this amazing stimulative role in that process of regeneration. Neural tissue as well, which is very difficult to do, near impossible in higher mammals, evidently. But seeing reversals of multiple sclerosis with high doses of silver, again, the right form, the hydrosol and the colloidal family form. I was also, again, confirming what I've been finding out in the peer-reviewed journals about what silver was doing with the nerves, but now seeing it clinically, which, you know, there's a lot more study that needs to occur, granted, but I don't discount these observations that are very real.
Well, here's an anecdotal. This must be 12, 13 years ago, I was in one of the health food stores that I used to haunt when I lived in Southern California, and saw this guy come through. There were two guys. One had bandages around his head, and his face looked like it had been scrubbed down to just the first growing layer of skin. There was almost nothing there. And he was spraying this stuff on his face, and there was a guy with him, and they were hanging out. And it's me, so I'll go up to anybody if I'm interested and say, hey, can I ask you a question? What's going on here? This is interesting. You're spraying some stuff on your face, and you've clearly had a burn, but he didn't have any scar tissue. He had the thinnest layer of skin I've probably ever seen.
Yes.
And he said, well, there was an explosion. I don't remember if it was kiln or it was something where he was working, probably a boiler. And he lost, he had an explosion and a burn on his face, lost a lot of skin. And I said, so what are you using? And he said, well, I'm spraying a high dose vitamin C. I'm taking high dose vitamin C and I'm spraying silver. And I said, why are you spraying silver? And he said, because it's an electrical conductor and it's going to help my skin grow back. And I said, but it sure looks like it is.
Yeah.
It was the most amazing thing I'd actually ever seen. Because you're not, you're supposed to end up with terrible scars.
Oh, absolutely. Well, hold on. We got to take another break here. We're going to be back with my good friend Liam Sheff, investigative journalist. Look at him doing investigation, asking me the questions here. What a crazy day this is. Because it's his birthday yesterday, I'm giving him lots of leeway. We're going to be right back with more powerful healing on the Robert Scott Bell Show with Liam Sheff after this.
The Robert Scott Bell Show. If you're looking for FDA-approved radio, you're listening to the wrong show. This is the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hi, this is Mike Adams inviting you to check out naturalnews.tv. This is a video site, a video community website that's been called the YouTube of the natural health community. It's pretty cool there. You can upload videos, share them, view other people's videos. Right now we're serving over 1.2 million video views a month. We've got a personal health transformation video contest on the site. We've got recipes, superfoods, lectures, interviews, anti-cancer information, diabetes information. I mean, it is just loaded with great videos, how-to videos, knowledge, wisdom, everything you need to know to pursue a natural health lifestyle. Oh, and it's also got a bunch of cool freedom videos from Alex Jones and Jesse Ventura as well, because we are a freedom-oriented natural health website, kind of a health freedom website. Check it out at naturalnews.tv. Again, that's naturalnews.tv.
What do you think? Call Robert now at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL.
Hold that shrimp on the Barbie until you find out about Papaya 35 Multiply Plus, direct from Australia. All natural, GMO-free Papaya 35 Multiply Plus is made from fermented papaya and pomegranate, rich in natural probiotics, digestive enzymes, and antioxidants. Now get this spectacular product to boost your natural killer cells to help your immune system and improve your digestion at the same time. So now you can have your shrimp on the Barbie, feel better, and if you act now, get a great down-under price and free shipping on each product that you order. Don't wait. Go to onestophealthshop.com and order now. That's one-stop-health-shop.com. Get that great down-under price and free shipping right now at one-stop-health-shop.com. That's one-stop-health-shop.com.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
The subject of healing and regenerative medicine, always a fascinating one for me to cover, and Liam Sheff has encouraged me to go that way today. So here we go. I blame you, Liam, and I hope you love it, because I do.
I accept the blame.
All right, good, good. See, here's a guy. He's an adult. He's taking responsibility. All right, Liam. Now, the story you're telling about the man who was recovering by spraying silver on topically, remember I talked about reducing fibrogenic cytokine storms. That's the inflammatory cascade that happens in acute injuries like this, and you don't want it to go chronic. Because that's where you get scarring, scar tissue, adhesions as such, whether it be internal sutures or surgical issues. And this is already also proven in that utilizing silver locally, you will eliminate the scarring potential altogether. And I've done it myself with injuries that should have scarred that didn't. And some that I didn't pay attention to that did scar, and I knew the difference. But, you know, fascinating personal experiments in that regard. But this is, again, a trace element. Now, I've got probably more questions ongoing about the intestinal healing, which is part of where we started today, and why the silver, why the aloe, for instance. And, of course, it's because of all of these properties. If we don't restore integrity of the gut, which is epithelial tissue, like the skin, just like this man had a burn on his face, we're talking about injuries to the epithelial lining of the intestines. If we don't repair that, then we can never have the integrity restored to digest and assimilate nutrients appropriately. So we can put good stuff in. It may or may not even get in. Or if it gets in the inappropriate form because the body is you know, the macro, let's say, injuries, if you will, the macro pores. The pores are made larger, and it's not supposed to be that way. And so some people utilize glutamine as well. Remember the trace mineral silica or silicon, so critical for connective tissue as well. And vitamin C, working with collagen, of course, that's also a benefit. We talk about connective tissue, and collagen plays a very important role there. So all of these things are able to restore the health to the gut, and then we've got to look to what? Replenish the good, healthy flora, the microbiome. That is critical because there are more bacteria in our gut than we have cells in our body. Without that, we rely on microbes to live. We cannot live without them. That's why the napalming concept, the Pentagon view of modern medicine, is so destructive to life itself.
Three cheers. So what could I do? You know, let's say I'm going to tell my friend, we're going to get you on the good food, but what do we do with the aloe? You mentioned aloe and silver, and there are a lot of probiotics on the market. I've had some that I liked. I'm not paid by any of them. I took one called Gero or Gerodophilus for a while,
yep.
And it didn't have any negative effects. But put together a regimen. I mean, look, you have commercial sponsors, but put together a regimen that you actually like that you would use just for the sake of argument so that I could go and give it a try. Because that's, by the way, that's what you have to do with all this stuff. You have to be willing to try it. You said experiments with health. You got to be willing to be your own patient. So I'm going to become my own patient with this one.
Well, Dr. Heal Thyself, a good friend of mine, Jordan Rubin, wrote a book called Patient Heal Thyself originally, and he was dealing with gastrointestinal diseases as well. And he brought in the focal point on probiotics as well. Now, remember, when we put flora in, the microflora, which we can because there are a lot of good probiotics on the market, we have to account for the terrain. Is it hospitable or inhospitable for the good guys we're trying to throw back in there? Now, when we have epithelial inflammation, lining the gut is damaged, when the villi aren't present, we don't have an environment or a village in terms of Hillary Clinton talk. It takes a village. We're talking about the villi need to be there so that the colonies can establish themselves a home there that help us to digest food, that help us to be part of the not only the immune system, digestive system, so much of the gut logic, the gut intelligence is there because the microbes are very intelligent. And people don't like to say, what do you mean, the bugs are smarter than us? Yeah, in many ways they are. We can't think to do what they do for us. So having the right kind of healthy, balanced terrain, that's why I say it's not enough to throw good probiotics in if the gut lining is inflamed and damaged. Now, I happened upon the science of silver combined with aloe because of its poor absorption. And this is a good thing here because silver in a hydrosol form would be absorbed too rapidly. And it's traveling together with the aloe. I usually do an ounce for a large adult, half an ounce for a smaller adult, or 3/4, somewhere in between of each, 3 times a day. Brings the silver. The aloe also has healing properties. Begins to repair the gut, reduce the inflammation, all the things we're talking about. I have them take more silica as well. If you want to do vitamin C as well, absolutely you can do so. And it will help as well. And now we're repairing the integrity of the lining itself. Now, when we throw a probiotic in, also now there's new knowledge about prebiotics. That is, Liam, the things that feed the probiotics, giving it the food it needs to sustain itself as it recolonizes. And I have been a fan of Dr. O'Hara's for many years. He's a Japanese researcher who found out about this. It takes 3 to 5 years to make this stuff. And therefore, it is stable. It is already its own environment. Now, given that with the healing of the environment internal, now you have a real opportunity to heal that which is nearly impossible to heal because of the hostility of the gut itself after it's been injured or damaged and the ignorance of the people that still eat a food with additives, preservatives, flavorings, all these inflammatories, much less antibiotics. Is that kind of making sense so far?
It is. So you're saying that the BHTs and the various preservatives that are in the foods that people stuff in themselves,
yes,
these are actually inflammatories. What about hydrogenated oils? I tend to think those are pretty nasty for the body. Are they inflammatory?
Yeah, absolutely. These are the trans fats the body doesn't deal with very well, so it really binds out a lot of the minerals that we need for repair, just to protect ourselves from the food. You know, Bruce Lipton, the cellular biologist, talked about the biology of belief, the biology of complementary medicine, said that your cells can only be in one of two places. They can either be in fight or flight mode, which is panic, just freak out. We're trying to survive here, right? Defense. Or they could be in growth and healing. So when you throw the BHTs and these preservatives in, it sends your cells that should be in the process of digestion for growth and healing into a state of panic and disrepair, just trying to stay alive. And you cannot survive in that way. It's like the entire world, or let's say the entire United States, what we call tax base, whatever it is, going toward defense, only defense, which is not defense, it's offense now. And you'll deplete the rest of the economy because there's nothing left for growth of the economy. It's all in defense and fight or flight. That's why we're seeing a decline in the U.S. Right now, because we've overemphasized defense into the state of permanent offense or autoimmunity. Now we get into things like lupus, where the body begins to attack itself. We're in that state as a nation, much less as millions of individuals are finding out as well.
Uh-oh, look at that. Deep politics, deep healing. We got some synergistic stuff going on here.
I thought no one would notice.
They might try to take you off the internet, you keep talking that way.
Yeah, I know. The pods are coming, they're coming to get you. So, look, we got to speak these truths because, by and large, the old media, even if there are some people that are well-intentioned within it, they don't tend to understand these concepts at all. They're foreign concepts. We're talking alien language for these people. And it's not to them that we can really communicate, but it's all those that have waken up or about to on the, you know, listening through natural news. And, of course, those that read your blog, Liam. I mean, you've done a lot to open people's eyes on both the non-scientific and scientific community as well.
I try. Hey, I'm not a young whippersnapper.
No, not anymore. Right? You're an old man.
I'm an old troublemaker.
It's good to have you on board here too. So what have I left out, Liam? I know you're very interested because your friend, who I know, has been through this, and the meds are destroying the intestinal integrity. We didn't even get to liver. There's just too much we have to cover. We don't have enough time to get to it all. But this, you know, hopefully gives a little bit more deeper understanding as to why I talk about the things I do and why this protocol to me is so very important to understand.
Well, listen, I asked you about it because there are things that I know and then there are things that I don't. And you're a studied, trained homeopath, and you work with the silver product. Now, in my macrobiotic studies, I came in, I'm glad you said this in the beginning, I came in like you. Well, I don't really want to tell somebody to eat a metal. I don't really know what it does. I want to put some ideas of a limit on putting more toxins in the body. So it's good to know there are receptors for silver in the body. It's good to know that this has regenerative processes like I saw with the guy who had the burn, but also inside the intestine. You've given me, I have to go back and listen to the show. You've given me an opportunity to do more reading and research so that I can understand this and I can be more useful to my friends who've been through this. Because a lot of people in this AIDS group reach out to me and they say, what do we do? What do we do? And I always say the same thing. Take care of yourself.
Yes.
Don't worry about the politics. You outlive their nonsense and they're going to have to come to you for the solution.
Yeah, you become the living example, the living proof we've talked about as well. And, you know, if we talk about silver, you know, for one more moment, I look in terms of toxicity or non-toxicity. Certainly anything, is dose-specific as a toxin or a poison. If you overwhelm yourself with the wrong kind of silver, you don't die, you turn blue. And I'm not risking my children any more than anybody that comes to me to do that. So let's just say you use a 10 part per million hydrosol. The equivalent, if we do it in homeopathic terms, is about a 5X. You know, 10 parts per million is equivalent to about a 5X, those that know homeopathy. It's a minimal dose. And you can even power dose on something like that. You're not exceeding what the EPA considers the daily reference dose for silver because it acknowledges that in the environment and the food, we are going to get some. So I always argue for non-toxic means by which we can promote healing. And so when I talk about silver, I'm not telling people to go with 500,000 ppm silver products that I would not take, that I don't think are necessary in any way, shape, or form.
So you're not one of the blue men.
No, I haven't even seen the show in Vegas yet.
You know, that's the old thing, though, people who took silver. You know, they took a lot and they turned kind of a steel.
Well, the blue bloods, people born with a silver spoon in their mouth. I mean, there's a lot of historical reference points to silver being very protective of those that utilized it. We just happen to now be able to access it in a very safe way, which is, you know, was my litmus before I would utilize it for my family and myself, much less anybody that needed my help.
Well, I appreciate it. I'm going to go away with more research to do, and I'm going to look for links. Maybe on your blog you could post a few so that you can help your old pal Liam in his dotage look up some things about silver. I want to find this clinical stuff. You know me, I want to find the clinical stuff. I want to put my hands around it and say, okay, there's the stuff about the microvilli, there's the stuff about the receptors, and there's the stuff about the neurological regeneration. And the idea that silver actually promotes regeneration at the level I think you were talking about, you mentioned stem cells, so I got to get into that too. I got work to do now.
Yeah, well, I'll get all of that up a little bit at a time. We don't want to overwhelm and give anybody indigestion, least of all my good friend, birthday boy, and now old man of the sea and land, Liam Sheff.
What's that? I couldn't hear you. Speak up, son.
Hey, Liam, it's always a blast. I never know how deep we'll get when we get together, so it's a great time, great opportunity, honored as well to have you on board anytime we can. And so thank you for helping me bring healing to those who are ready to hear it.
And you keep rocking and rolling and reggaeing that health world. And don't go to that machine for your diagnoses. I do not trust that machine.
Okay, we'll see if we can avoid it here. Those of you who'd want to chime in on this subject or more, or have Liam ask him a question, we'll get him back on from time to time as often as I can. The number is 866-939-BELL, 866-939-3223. See, here I am confusing myself. Bell is 2355. So pay attention next time you dial, and you'll find it. We'll get the message, and we'll do a lot more healing together. Liam, thanks again. Reminding everybody, as I do every day here on naturalnewsradio.com, that the power to heal is yours.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hello, this is Jonathan Wagner. We have an internet website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, that carries many of the products discussed on Robert's show, including 100% whole food chromium and selenium, silica, as well as sovereign silver and Nordic naturals. Choose2BeHealthy.com features the Rolls-Royce of probiotics. It's Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. Dr. O'Hara, a world-renowned microbiologist, formulated a unique probiotic that blends ancient Japanese fermentation methods with 21st-century technology. No refrigeration is needed. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics contains the strongest lactic acid bacteria known to man based on scientific laboratory research. 6.25 times stronger. Quite simply, it works and works very well. So go to our website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, or call us toll-free, 866-424-1077. That's 866-424-1077. We're here to help.
Hey, man, look at me rocking out. I'm on the radio.
Listening to the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Just hours ago, the British medical journal BMJ accused a researcher, Andrew Wakefield, of outright fraud.
People need to look at the details and not look at the headlines.
Robert Scott Bell.
How did the Department of Homeland Security get into the medical business?
Joe, we have a potential pandemic.
A national health emergency.
The sky is falling. A piece of it just hit me on the head.
Robert Scott Bell. Scott Bell.
Our aim will be to give the government back to the American people, and a renewed focus on our Constitution.
We sent that guy to Washington, D.C. to uphold the Constitution, and he's not even on the floor of the House when they're reading it. What gives?
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom and making sense out of medical propaganda. The voice of health, freedom, and liberty, Robert Scott Bell.
What? We didn't have enough gut damage in children already? You kidding me? Check this out on Natural News yesterday published about the American children going to be used in medical experiments to test the anthrax vaccine. Oh, man, oh, man, they lead the story this way. The highly controversial and potentially lethal anthrax vaccine may be tested on U.S. children if the federal government gets its way. Do you see? We're just cannon fodder for the pharmaceutical industrial complex. They've turned the U.S. citizenry over to the drug and vaccine industry. According to the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, they're exploring the possibility of testing this vaccine on children. Nicole Lurie, the Assistant Secretary for Preparedness and Response at the DHHS, recently requested that the National Biodefense Science Board submit an evaluation of safety issues related to testing the anthrax vaccine on children. Here we go again. It's scary. It's anthrax. Of course, they're going to say there's nothing else you can do. And pardon me if you get annoyed with me for bringing up one of the most profound tools again. I can't help it. It just does what it does. And we're talking about anthrax. Of course, there is anthraxenum in homeopathy, which is more or less used for cutaneous anthrax, which is not as severe as the pulmonary anthrax. But when you're dealing with the pulmonary anthrax, you've got very severe consequences if you don't address it somehow. And they try to hammer you with antibiotics and such. I'm telling you, here I go again. I know, it's the silver record again. This is where nebulization is so critical. Taking a liquid form of silver, inhaling it into the lungs very frequently, very readily, along with homeopathic medicines and other things to basically restore balance into an area that has become overwhelmed very rapidly. And I can't go into it very detailed, very heavily right now, but suffice it to say, when they tell you there's no cure for anthrax, they're lying. They're either lying or they're ignorant. In either case, it's not helpful to you. You should be able to know the truth. And I know some people will say, oh, it's always silver art. Listen, man, I'm just telling you what I know clinically. And I don't know everything clinically. You may have something else. Then call me up, 866-939-2355, and let me know what you would do
for pulmonary anthrax, okay? But in the meantime, they're going to hammer more children experimenting on them. They haven't destroyed their gut enough. And that's why, you know, Liam was on last hour. We were talking more about the gut damage, because if it isn't even in childhood, they'll get you in adulthood with antibiotics and everything else we talk about here. And then we get more autism. We get more neurological degradation diseases. We get more of all kinds of chronic diseases within the autism spectrum, the Asperger syndrome and such. And there's just not enough of that going around, is there? You hear it in the media every day now. And yet they have the audacity in the federal government to say, hey, well, let's just check out one more vaccine. Yeah. And how many more in the pipeline do they have to introduce to the basically the trusting souls that still believe in the authoritarian power structure on the planet, largely controlled by a pharmaceutical madman or madwomen, if there are any up at that level? And this is something that has to be called to account, accounted for. And of course, all I'm doing here, as probably you are as well, trying to wake those people up who are wakeable upable, because we can't do anything about those who refuse to be woken up. I realize it's tough. I mean, the hardest thing is when your family members aren't willing to wake up, right? You know the truth. You know the facts. You listen to the Robert Scott Bell Show. You read naturalnews.com, and you've got family members that are just going, you guys are crazy. I'm taking my vaccine. I'm taking my antibiotic. I need drugs. I need a kid with 119 pills a week. And you would dare point out that may be a little excessive, just a little. And there are people, you know, you got aunts and uncles and brothers and sisters and moms and dads or sons and daughters, maybe even spouses. That's the toughest thing. If you haven't got on the same page with your spouse before you get married on this issue, please do so. Before you have children, figure out what you're going to do with vaccinations and make the right decision, but make it together, because I've heard too many stories of the ugliness that happens based on marriages gone awry because one person has awoken to the realities of the danger of big pharma and big vaccine and said, no more, not to my child. And the other one's still freaking out over it. And then if there's any rift at all, they will use that against you, and the courts will likely side with the pro-vaccine, pro-big pharma, pro-big government intervention. And that is a very sad thing, but it happens all too many times. We're never going to stop this autism epidemic if we accept one more vaccine. So should we start a protocol or program saying, one less vaccine? How about 100 less vaccines? And how about one more call? Don, go ahead and run the call from Janet in Florida.
I just want to say, you and Don are just great together. I really enjoy this new segment that you're doing. I like to hear your comments on the autism. You've been really great with that lately. I volunteer for a program for autistic children at my church. It's to give the parents a break. It's extremely difficult to parent these kids. You talk about the gut issues. It's been so interesting to hear what you have to say, because I've seen firsthand these kids, and so many of them have that problem. I remember one little boy, he was 4. Every time the word bathroom was mentioned, he would start screaming because he has pain when he has to go. So thank you, and keep it up.
Thank you, Janet, for that call. And I could hear the pain in her voice, Don, when she was talking about the pain she saw in the child when she said bathroom. And I have yet to meet the autistic or autistic spectrum child that doesn't have massive, severe gut dysbiosis, constipation, bloating, pain, all of these things. It tears you up knowing that the government sanctions this kind of assault on children. And yes, Jan, thank you for your efforts in helping, giving parents a break who've been through this. And it's a sad thing to watch. Of course, you know, all events in life are transformative potentially. Sometimes it takes the most tragic of circumstances to make the change that is necessary in consciousness so that we will reject the vaccines, the Monsantos and other things of the world that are assaulting us, including the antibiotics that I've talked about so frequently here on the show. And it also explains to me why, you know, the number one question I get is all about gut health, gut health, gut health. How do I repair it? And even now there are calls that I'm not going to be able to put on the air requesting more information on it. I guess I can't say it enough, but it tells me that we're hitting a nerve here. People are recognizing what's gone on here and are wanting to do something for the first time, perhaps to actually correct it instead of ameliorate or suppress the symptoms so we can break this cycle. And by the way, Don, did you hear Janet likes it when you open up your mic and talk? I was going to say no more, Don. You know, we heard enough from you. But it appears that they like you. They really like you.
Well, I'm honored. Thank you, Janet.
Another story I covered recently was on that CNN story from yesterday. Remember the kid with 119 pills? And they actually covered it in the mainstream media. Have we gone mad? Is this a little over the top, you think? And that elicited another call, this time Adam from Los Angeles. Don, go ahead and run that.
Robert, I'm listening to your show now for just, I think, like the second time. This CNN article on kids who are being medicated. Yeah, I want to praise you for your raising this issue. I think it's being pushed under the carpet. I think it's a very hard subject for people to raise because they don't want to offend their friends and family who are medicating their kids these ways. But I just want to tell you that you're articulating absolute truth as far as I'm concerned. I was put on those medications myself by my family as a young man 25 years ago. They told me I could not survive without those so-called medications. I had to find my own way off of them. It took a couple of years, and I've been free of them for more than 20 years now. What I notice is that most of my family could never admit that they'd made a mistake, in fact, to this day. So what I think I would ask you is to think about articulating how do we get people to admit they made a mistake with their own kids? It seems like the hardest kind of mistake to admit. But in any case, thank you very much for your expressions, and I do believe you're completely correct about what you're saying here in these matters.
Adam, I greatly appreciate your call, and I can hear the pain in your voice as well and what you've gone through. And, you know, one of the hardest things to do is Adam recognizes, is admit we've made a mistake, right? We've made a mistake buying into the lies of Big Pharma and worshiping these doctors and the drugs as if they're going to do something for us or instead of to us, which is what they're doing. Now, when we talk about family members, I mentioned that before. The hardest thing is when you woke up, I'm awake and I see it. Suddenly the emperor wears no clothes, but your family members don't. And of course, going back in time, listen, my parents did the best they could and with what they knew. I've done whole shows on that. How did this happen? How did we just suddenly, you know, it wasn't suddenly, over the course of a few generations, over 100 years now, lose our connection to reality and turn it over to drug pushers? So that we would end up in a state like this where, you know, someone like Adam in L.A. has been drugged since childhood and had to find his way off of it back to life itself. And I think what Adam's asking for is, geez, Mom, Dad, can you at least acknowledge that you may? Now, the thing is, we can't ever live our lives just waiting for the time that it's acknowledged and that they've done wrong. And I don't say it in terms of, oh, you're bad, Mom, you're bad. I mean, we can all do that. There's all things like that. Heck, we're parents. We can see, oh, man, I wish I didn't do that to my kid. But at some point, you know, it only happens individually where we recognize, oh, my God, did I screw up? And, of course, we make, hopefully, changes like I did in my life to clean my act up, as my wife did, so that we could have healthier children and raise them up the way we would want them to live. And, of course, at a point when they reach maturity, then they have to determine what way to live is right for them. But to give them an opportunity to not drug them, to not poison them, to not vaccinate them even, and let them make that choice later. But by then, maybe, you know, people all over the world are awakened to this disaster that is the vaccine religion. And once we do wake up, that's the moment where we do see the so-called proverbial matrix for what it is. The illusion all around us laid over our eyes like a cloth, but in the guise of a drug, in the guise of fluoride coming in through the water. And that's why, you know, I say that the key to freedom is health freedom. And I know we could discuss it from many different angles, but I say it this way, in that we have this temple, this gift of creation that we're given. And we pollute it, either knowingly or unknowingly. It doesn't matter. It's not a judgment I'm making here. It's just a factual statement. And when we can't see through it because we're too hopped up on medicines, drugs, or dependent upon them, then we can be controlled and manipulated in many different ways, including politically, including economically, which is why I brought Tom Woods back on the program for today. He's got the Nullify Now tour coming up in L.A. If you can get it on the West Coast, I know I got a lot of listeners. Adam, if you can make it out there, you're in Los Angeles. Nullify Now this Saturday. But we're going to talk with Tom Woods in just a moment and rock the political, economic, and health world simultaneously. We're going to have a good time doing it as well. Thank you for being here on the United States and World of Health Talk Radio. We're going to rock it up a notch or two after this with Tom Woods coming right back with more powerful healing.
listening to the Godzilla of Health Talk Radio.
Run! It's Godzilla!
It's the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hello, this is Jonathan Wagner. We have an internet website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, that carries many of the products discussed on Robert's show, including the 100% whole food chromium and selenium, silica, as well as sovereign silver and Nordic naturals. Choosetobehealthy.com features the Rolls-Royce of probiotics. It's Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. Dr. O'Hara, a world-renowned microbiologist, formulated a unique probiotic that blends ancient Japanese fermentation methods with 21st century technology. No refrigeration is needed. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics contains the strongest lactic acid bacteria known to man based on scientific laboratory research. 6.25 times stronger. Quite simply, it works and works very well. So go to our website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, or call us toll-free, 866-424-1077. That's 866-424-1077. We're here to help.
What do you think? Call Robert now at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL.
Hey there, this is Mike. Got a couple of things you may want to check out. Did you know about the website counterthink.com? These are some really hilarious, freedom-oriented, health-oriented, even political cartoons that you got to check out. Counterthink.com. And if you want to know what's in your food, go check out foodinvestigations.com, where you've got a bunch of free mini documentaries, little videos there that you can watch that will show you what's in your food and what's not in your food. We talk about Total Blueberry Pomegranate Cereal made by General Mills. Did you know it has no blueberries in it and no pomegranates? We got the video right there on foodinvestigations.com. And if you really want to know what's in your food, your medicine, your personal care products, and so on, head over to naturalnews.com. We're publishing about 12 articles a day now, everything from healing superfoods to the dangerous chemicals in your products, foods, and medicines. Naturalnews.com. Check it out.
In the health world through the power of radio. It's the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Big Memorial Day weekend coming up. I wish I could be in two places at one time. I'm going to be at the Survivalist Conference in Dallas-Fort Worth, speaking on a lot of healing topics. Who could it be? Well, Tom Woods. Yes, Tom Woods is with me now. He's going to preview Nullify Now in Los Angeles, California. Tom, welcome back to the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Thank you, Robert. Glad to be here.
Tom, it's an amazing thing that I've been watching you defend liberty with great dexterity, shall I say, for a long time now. People are continually challenging the issue of non-intervention, misconstruing it as isolationism, and so many principles are being challenged now in the mainstream media and by people who don't really get it. If I could take it to the realm of the constitution of the body, you know, the health of the body, I say we cannot be on a perpetual state of offensive warfare or we'll exhaust our immune system. Because people are attacking, for instance, Congressman, now presidential candidate Ron Paul, about wanting to have a strong national defense and how that's different from a strong national offense be everywhere.
Well, I think this is symbolized in the fact that after 9/11, they created a Department of Homeland Security, which is sort of Orwellian title, a Department of Homeland Security whose job supposedly is to defend the United States from attack. And doesn't that make you wonder, well, then what was the Department of Defense doing all this time? Like we had to create a whole new agency to protect the country? So that alone shows that something's not quite right.
Well, Tom, we just found out the Department of Homeland Security and the outcropping, the Transportation Security Administration, has a whole new realm or idea of where they're going. They just started doing pat-downs at proms, high school proms in New Mexico. So that's really the reason we have terrorists trying to spike the punch with raw milk or something strange like that.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's interesting that just a few months ago, I think in January of 2011, a magazine called Foreign Policy, which is a very mainstream magazine. It's not, you know, you and I wouldn't be allowed to write for it, Robert. Foreign Policy ran an article by Ann Applebaum, who's a historian. And she was talking about the Department of Homeland Security and the Transportation Safety Administration. And she was saying, what have these agencies really accomplished? Well, pretty much what they've done is they've been a boon for contractors where, you know, we had, I think before 9/11, there were like 9 companies with contracts to the federal government providing so-called Homeland Security services. Now it's over 33,000 with their annual trade shows and influence over congressmen and whatever. And you've got, you know, every state has to get some portion of the Homeland Security money. So there'd be states that, in parts of states where the chances of a terrorist attack, I mean, in the whole lifespan of 58 universes, there wouldn't be a terrorist attack in any of these places, but it lines the pockets of the politically well-connected. That's what these things have basically wound up doing. So for that to be said in a totally mainstream outlet like that is an indication of what's of the real truth of the matter. And then in terms of, well, you know, we have to be waging wars all over the world. You know, this is where the so-called political mainstream would take us. The people who are on the principled progressive left and the principled traditional conservative right, and I realize that those groups could have their conference in a telephone booth these days.
Yes.
They're the ones who have objected to this, have said that this is just going to lead to a lot of bloodshed and the outcomes are not going to be anything that are going to please pretty much anybody. They have been consistently vindicated, in my opinion anyway,
yes.
And yet they are the extremists, and yet the mainstream who have brought about, I mean, the UN said that 500,000 kids have been killed by the Iraqi sanctions in the late 1990s. The U.S. government didn't dispute those figures. It just said that, well, that was a price that they're willing to pay. That's a price they're willing to pay, but how about humane people?
Yes.
I mean, it has made us callous.
Oh, very much so. And Tom, yeah. If I might, for the audience here on the streaming through Natural News, you know, we talk about the fact that there's a callousness in the medical industrial complex because they'll say, well, if 89 girls have died after getting the HPV Gardasil shot, and it's true they have, yet they argue that the benefits outweigh the risks. And I'm thinking, what about those 89 children, those 89 families? Would they say that same thing? What about those 500,000 collateral damage to our foreign excursions? Would they say the same thing? Where is a culture of life in that statement?
Exactly. It encourages us, the whole apparatus encourages us to have a kind of juvenile mentality that does flatter us. It does make us feel like we're super important because the sociopaths who govern us have very sophisticated military technology and can kill people very easily. That makes us feel better about ourselves. You know, USA, USA. I used to buy into this whole package when I was a middle-of-the-road GOP Republican in college, and now I feel like, good God, what did I approve of? I mean, what did I lend my little moral support to? And finally, just in terms of sheer practicality, even moving aside from what it does to us, what it does to people in these other countries, there's the sheer practicality issue, which is, you know, we're told that, well, these people are going to come get us no matter what we do, and so we've got to just incinerate them all before they get the chance. Well, it's interesting, and we're told that they hate us because we're so good, and, you know, because we have the First Amendment and whatever. We have Oprah Winfrey or something.
We have high school proms. Course.
Right, we have high school proms and men dancing with women and so on and on. And well, I suppose we also have men dancing with men. They probably don't like that either. But the point is that when you look at all this, the truth of the matter is that in Iran in the early 1980s, when the Ayatollah was in power, in the early 1980s, those first years, he tried to whip up sort of a type of jihad mentality against the West on the grounds precisely that, look at the U.S., they have women in the workforce, you know, they're drinking beer, they're doing all these terrible things. And the result was crickets, yawns. No one was interested. Nobody wanted to take up arms against that. But it was when bin Laden portrayed it specifically as, well, look, they got troops on our sacred soil here in the Arabian Peninsula. They're propping up police states around the Arab world. They think that all oil around the world rightly belongs to them. They're intervening in the Israeli-Palestine dispute. They're starving Iraqi children. When he portrayed it that way, well, a lot of these young kids couldn't sign up fast enough. And that is revealing to me. Mm-hmm. That it was not just a matter of – if it's just the fact that we're wearing blue jeans, they're going to come kill us, then I don't – you know, what else can we do?
Well, it's the
but
same –
when it turns out that it's not that, well, then there is something we could do. Leave them alone.
Yeah, I think that's it's reasonable. It's like leave the Amish alone. Why have they become terrorists? Because – well, I don't know. I'm just trying to figure out why the FDA spent I don't know how many much money in a year of an underground sting operation to get those dangerous Amish people, farmers, from selling us raw milk.
And I was pleased to see, of course, I mean, I guess maybe listeners of yours who have heard me on the program before know I am a supporter of Ron Paul. And wasn't it funny that in his speech kicking off his presidential campaign, he included raw milk? Did you hear that?
Yes.
In his speech.
He says, how free are we really if we're not even allowed to drink raw milk? I mean, that's the worst thing. I mean, at least under the former Soviet Union, the people knew they weren't free. The worst kind of freedom is the kind where you think you're free, but you're really not.
Right. I thought that was great because, I mean, who else in either major party is going to bring up that issue at all, much less from the outset? And he used it, of course, as one example of his broader point about the way liberties have been eroded, always in the name of security and making us safe, whether it's making us safe from those Arabs who irrationally want to kill us or making us safe from the problem of the Amish milk.
Yes.
Whatever, it's always and half of our people fall for one of the lines, and the other half falls for the other one. So some of them are hiding under their beds because of the terrorists, and the others are hiding from the raw milk. And those of us who don't hide from any of this stuff, we're the extremists.
Yeah, right there, the ones that don't fear raw milk. And Congressman Paul is also said this. How would we feel if China were occupying, you know, Texas, for instance? We would not be liking it, and they would likely call us terrorists for resisting any kind of occupation. Why is it that we're, you know, something different? Now, I recognize in my mind, Tommy, you correct me, you've also, by the way, thank you for sending me the politically incorrect guide to American history. My son and I are going to be studying that, and I'm gradually collecting all the Tom Woods books I can. I have Nullification, I have Rollback, I think I have Meltdown too. But yeah, I'm collecting your books here. So
I appreciate that. Thanks, Robert.
I'm happy to do the Tom Woods Library right here on the Robert Scott Bell Show. Tom, I recognize what's great about America in my mind was that we had a love of liberty and we established a government that would simply protect that liberty. And that to me is exceptional. All right. But there are other like distortions of American exceptionalism that kind of put us in a sense that we're like godlike creatures, that what we do doesn't matter. And there's no cause and effect link or a karmic retribution or a debt incurred when we do things that are not so nice.
And it's true. And, of course, the part of the problem is that we have been encouraged to think of the government as we. And so we feel personally involved. We feel like our own identity is at stake. When somebody says, hey, we shouldn't be hurting those people, we feel like saying, well, how dare you say that about us? But it isn't really we. It's them. It's this small group of people in Washington who are doing these things in our name. But they portray it as – they encourage us to think of America as being the government. So that when the government is attacked, we naturally want to respond. How dare you attack America? Because I'm part of America. Once we get this kind of twisted thinking out of our heads that, no, America is us. It's the people. It's the landscape. It's the topography. It's the traditions. America is not Barack Obama. It's not George W. Bush. If we can just make that distinction, then I think it would be easier for people to look dispassionately at what these people are doing.
Yeah, it wasn't we the government, you know, as you started the Declaration of Independence or anything like that. It was we the people. And I think that's where we're going into that, I guess, a different understanding. How do you differentiate between the collective we government, where it's rah, rah, America, wave the flag, we can do no wrong, to personal responsibility, individual liberty, and a government that simply protects that from being violated? And I know that's a concept we got to go back in time and bring it back to the future here.
Well, of course, that's what we're doing. I'm trying to do in all different ways as one private individual. But, you know, you mentioned that, you know, we've got this Nullify Now tour going on where we're talking about a lot of interesting things. We've got in Los Angeles, we're going to be talking about going after the Patriot Act and bringing the National Guard back to our shores where it belongs, to be the citizen soldiers they were supposed to be and not the nation builders that the government has I think, betrayed people in turning them into.
Yes.
I mean, we're going to be talking about issues that aren't typically associated with the Tea Party groups, even though there will be plenty of Tea Party people there. We're going to be taking this beyond the traditional kind of red meat issues that the Tea Partiers typically respond to and say, no, it's a whole package here. It's a whole package of liberty. It's the Fourth Amendment. It's the whole thing we want. It's not just, I don't like Obamacare. It's a whole heck of a lot more than that.
Yeah, I found it fascinating in my experience since October last year, becoming involved with the Tenth Amendment Center and Michael Bolden and the crew there, and having met you through this as well, that it's bringing together those that have a history from the left and a history from the right, and acknowledging we do have a lot in common. And it comes down to, if we talk about it in terms of this government, the Constitution, the limitations on government that it was imposing, the Ten Amendments, what they really mean, that rights don't come from government, they come from a far higher place. And it's like you see these people because Michael and the crew, I mean, they're from the left. They're hip. I'm not saying they're hippie guys, but these guys were running parties in Los Angeles, right? And they're coming on and making a major impact through the 10th Amendment Center.
It's true. And I mean, I come at this as, the squariest of the square in terms of my own personal habits. But I'm tired of the bipartisan war on some drugs. Mm-hmm. I'm tired of the bipartisan foreign policy. I'm tired of the bipartisan assault on civil liberties. I'm tired of the bipartisan propaganda, the bipartisan media machine that tells me which candidates are acceptable and which ones are so-called extreme. And extreme means they haven't killed anybody.
Yeah.
That's the definition of extreme. I'm tired of that whole thing. And if there are people on the left who feel like they were scammed and they have a bitter taste in their mouths because of the whole Obama fiasco, then I welcome them with open arms. I mean, yeah. It's the regular America versus the imperial America. That's what we're all about with the Nullify Now tour and the 10th Amendment Center.
Yep. We're talking to Tom Woods. We're going to take a quick break here. Also, if you go to tomwoods.com, I have it linked up through the email blast on naturalnewsradio.com as well as robertscottbell.com, tomwoods.com. You can actually download a free chapter from some of his books, including Rollback and Nullification. And we've got a lot more healing to do of a political and economic nature when we return. And we'll tell you more about the upcoming events this Memorial Day holiday weekend. Stay with us.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hold that shrimp on the Barbie until you find out about Papaya 35 Multiply Plus, direct from Australia. All natural, GMO-free Papaya 35 Multiply Plus is made from fermented papaya and pomegranate, rich in natural probiotics, digestive enzymes, and antioxidants. Now get this spectacular product to boost your natural killer cells to help your immune system and improve your digestion at the same time. So now you can have your shrimp on the Barbie, feel better, and if you act now, get a great down-under price and free shipping on each product that you order. Don't wait. Go to onestophealthshop.com and order now. That's one-stop-health-shop.com. Get that great down-under price and free shipping right now at one-stop-health-shop.com. That's one-stop-health-shop.com.
Dr. Teresa Dale here with an urgent message for you. Are you seeking a natural solution for hormone balance? Do you now use any hormone replacement? Do you suffer from menopause or low T? Do you want results using safe, natural, and trusted products? We have thousands of test results proving the efficacy of our products. I created a proven homeopathic system and the only five-element saliva test in the world used by thousands of health providers and now available to you. Did you know there are side effects to using bioidentical hormones and any HRT? Don't wait. Get my five-element saliva test and get your hormones balanced. Don't risk cancer and other side effects. Call us. 800-219-1261. That's 800-219-1261. Or visit naturalhealingpro.com.
Got a question for Robert? Call now at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL.
Many people have heard our ads on the benefits of truly undamaged whey protein, but they still do not believe there can be such an immense difference between heated whey and unheated whey. So I'd like to direct your attention to the comparative photos of two cows. The website address is too long to say on the radio, so please go to oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com, and download the free report on the miraculous health benefits of unheated whey. In this report is a website address that shows the comparative photos of two cows. The cow fed cooked milk looks sick compared to the cow fed raw milk, which looks healthy. Seeing is believing. I was never a fan of protein powders in the past until I was introduced to One World Whey. Now I know that the special means of processing whey to preserve what nature put into it has never been achieved until now. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast.
Robert Ryan.
He is tenacious, isn't he?
Scott.
He's
Scott,
a brave
Scott,
and a decent man. He's a pioneer.
Bell.
This message must be read in every newspaper, heard on every radio, seen on every television.
The Robert Scott Bell Show. Scott Bell Show.
Taking healing to other levels today with Tom Woods, author of Nullification, Rollback, and Meltdown, and so many more. And as I mentioned, the Politically Incorrect Guide to American History, which I got for my son Elijah, who is 11, and we're going to be studying that together. It's amazing to me to think that it's possible to have to learn something in childhood that you won't have to unlearn. Tom, I mean, there's so much to, growing up in the traditional American public school system. I call them government indoctrination centers. You know how much I had to unlearn to know what I know today?
Oh, it's exactly right. I mean, this is it reminds me of something Thomas Jefferson said. He was so disgusted by the newspapers, the press in his day, that he said, you know, you would be better informed on current events if you read no newspaper at all.
Even
and,
back
and
then.
So, and then if you read these newspapers. And I sort of feel like in some ways, well, I used to be a college professor, and I used to think in some ways I would rather have kids who come into my class as a blank slate than to have them have come in having studied a whole lot of propaganda. And I mean, I find that really the typical classroom is a lot of, yeah, I mean, okay, some of the teachers are going to be left-wing and they'll have some criticisms of the Vietnam War or something. But by and large, the narrative is still very, very much a rah-rah one, you know, American exceptionalism, we're the best in the world, the best country that there ever was on the face of the earth. I sometimes wonder, you know, other countries must get a little annoyed at this after a while. I mean, like, come on. All right.
There can be no other opinion but ours.
Exactly. I mean, like, you know, after a while you'd think that, you know, look, Americans, all right, we get it. You like yourselves. We understand that. We hear you loud and clear. Can you talk about something else now? And it poisons their ability to question authority at all. I mean, and plus the whole format of the government school system is aimed at, you know, keeping the kid in line. And there's a funny Simpsons episode actually where I guess Lisa Simpson is having some kind of uttering some statement in the classroom that questions the whole, just the whole premise of the system. And the teacher underneath the desk has a button. It's the independent thought monitor, and she's pushing it frantically. And so a little alarm goes off in the principal's office. Like, we have to shut this down.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, right. I mean, there's a version of things, right? I mean, it says that all the good that we've had in our society has come from the increasing centralization of power and the regulatory apparatus. And all the bad in our society really comes from the grasping private interests in the private sector, and so therefore the solution to our problems is obvious: more centralization, more power to our overlords, more skepticism of the private sector. Now, the private sector today, unfortunately, in case after case after case, isn't really the private sector anymore.
Yeah.
Half the time they're the recipients of some subsidy, or they're in bed with the government one way or another. It's hard even to know which people to cheer at this point any longer. But pretty much the whole purpose of my work is to question this consensus, to say, you know, there is another way to think about it, and that to the contrary, the rise in our standard of living has occurred very much in spite of the people we're told deserve the credit for it and that sort of thing. That's the way we have to encourage kids to think that there could be another way to think about U.S. history. And the example I always give is the Walmart example, that if they were being educated in a school funded by Walmart, of course, Walmart is going to teach the kids that where would they be without Walmart? Well, they'd be pathetic and probably dead. And
Walmart is great, right?
Exactly, right. Yeah. They'd have unsafe milk. milk, and you know their kids would be dying and whatever. But thanks to Walmart, everything's different. And now we would at least have the good sense to know that Walmart was probably just making that up to make itself look good. But when it's the government, for some reason, because of that training we got, yeah. We just accept it hook, line, and sinker.
We suspend disbelief. And, you know, yeah. I was thinking also about this in other realms. It's not unique to America, even, or not even unique to government, per se. You know, as a trained homeopath, this is something that not many people know about in America anymore, even though it's woven into the medical fabric of American history. I mean, you literally have to go to read Divided Legacy by Harris Coulter, these thick books of history, and you're like, whoa, that wasn't in the history books, and it's all, you know, validated. It's an amazing thing. You go to a Civil War museum down in the South, even in the North, if there's many of them left, and you'll find that they had homeopathic medical kits in the field. Who knew? I never heard it in government schools. But also, even within the teachings of homeopathy, there is tremendous dogma about, well, this is the only way to do it. I learned it this way. You can't. And so we're taught, even in any system, even holistic system sometimes, don't think outside this box. And I'm thinking, I'm always wanting to think outside this box, and I want to teach my kids to do so as well, because they're going to be in touch with something far greater than the limitations of man.
I defer to you on subjects like this, but of course the medical establishment, you know, like the AMA, has been dead set against homeopathy from the beginning and has used all means, fair or foul, to exclude it from the realm of possibility in people's minds, to make people think it's stupid, and we are the new priesthood, and we will dispense the great, you know, the divine gifts to you, and you are not entitled to an opinion on this, citizen, because we went to accredited medical schools, and you know, and of course they limit the number of such schools. There are some states that have only one accredited medical school in the entire state.
Yes.
Which holds down the number of physicians, which makes their salaries go up, and meanwhile, alternatives that question the whole apparatus of the modern medical establishment are systematically denigrated, and you're deprived of them.
Yeah, in fact, we go back to the Flexner Report of 1910, and the only congressman I've ever heard mention it is actually Ron Paul. And people are going, scratching their heads, what is he talking about, 1910? And you know, this is the whole idea. It was designed to limit not only educational opportunities, but to limit the number of schools. This is, they can control the profession totally and direct it to a petrochemical model. And, of course, that's not freedom. And then people on the left will scream and cry at me and say, well, you're not for health care and healing. It's like, no, I'm all about it. But the only way we're going to get there is if we free up all the healers to heal.
Exactly right. And I mean, think about it. Just think of the way government has funded science in general. Government doesn't go out and say, well, let's look at people who are dissenters from the establishment and let's give them some money. Never, right? No, what they do is they go to the establishment, whether it's, you know, the scientific establishment, whatever, and they say, okay, what's the reigning theory on such and such, on whatever it is, on the causes of cancer or something? And then we will fund research that takes the reigning theory as the groundwork for the research. But people who dissent from the gene mutation theory of cancer, they're not going to get any of this research money. And so likewise, the more government gets involved in medical care, the less chance you have of the type of natural methods that you guys talk about seeing the light of day. They're not going to be supported in any way. The more the government takes over, the more it's the pharmaceutical industrial complex calling the shots. We all know it, or we, at least we should know it by now.
Well, there's, you know, cognitive dissonance is very heavy in government as well in the medical establishment. The American Academy of Pediatrics, I believe it's called the AAP, came out recently and said, hey, we want the Environmental Working Group to give us more stringent guidelines because we're very concerned that children are being harmed by environmental toxins. I said, hooray! These people finally are getting it. They're saying something good, even though I would say there are different ways to get there. But they acknowledge toxins in children. I said, okay, good. Now, what's the next paragraph going to say? Basically crickets you hear. They're taking those same environmental toxins, concentrating them in a syringe, injecting them into children. They call that a vaccine. And they say, well, that's okay. So there's a complete disconnect when it comes to perpetuating what their, let's say, consensus is, just like you mentioned, Tom.
Somebody asked me, Robert, I gave a talk in Montana, my first time ever in Montana about a week or so ago, and in the question period, somebody asked me, why do, number one, do pharmaceutical companies contribute to political campaigns, and number two, if so, why do they do so? Mm. Now, there are a number of reasons that they might, but a key one would be, of course, every pharmaceutical company wants there to be some type of prescription drug government funding or some type of requirement that people have to use their drug or have to acquire, like insurance companies would love everybody to have to acquire medical care. I mean, I would love there to be, if I didn't have any principles, I would love there to be a law that everybody has to go to TomWoods.com every day. You know, of course, like we all would like to see something like that.
I might consider supporting that because it's good information.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. Thanks. Yeah, we could make one deviation from principles. But, I mean, you know, then you suddenly realize, you know, my gosh, yeah, now I see how it all works. The people who are in the position to hand the big bucks to the regime are the ones who are going to say, now, look, you better require that everybody gets this particular vaccine that by an amazing coincidence I myself happen to manufacture. Hmm. And again, it's not our people who are getting in there that will get access to this or can get meetings with the FDA or whatever. I mean, this just doesn't happen.
Yeah, the Amish people don't have lobbyists, and that's why they're getting hammered the way they are.
Right. Whereas, you know, like after this financial reform bill was passed, it turns out that Goldman Sachs and some of these major financial firms have met with key regulators and you know, members of all the major regulatory institutions hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times, where the average local bank owner doesn't have a prayer of getting in to see any of these people. So you realize that every time they propose a patch to fix this broken system, yes, it's another patch that will be gamed by the big players. Right. And every time you read a regulation that says, the committee shall determine, well, which there are about 100 of those such statements in the financial reform bill,
yes,
you know what that means. It means a huge area of discretion for people with influence to be able,
correct,
to make that influence felt. I mean, we have got to wake ourselves up from this complacency that good people are in charge and they're just looking out for our well-being. You know, there might have been a plausible case for that 60 years ago. You could at least have made a plausible case. I don't think there's a remotely plausible case for that right now. I think it's a very sinister group of people at every level who are in charge, and I don't trust a word any of them says. And this is coming from somebody who used to take everything that he was told by official channels as if it were holy writ.
Right, right. Well, it's the myth of the small government Republican as well. I mean, look at under Bush what happened with the Prescription Drug Act. Suddenly now it was a right to have prescription drugs. And who loved that? Big Pharma. Man, it's easier to collect from one group.
Yeah, one of the key – I point this out in my book Rollback. One of the key architects of that whole bill then left government and became it got a seven-figure salary being a pharmaceutical lobbyist.
That's right.
I can't make this stuff up, and this is going on. It's going on right in front of us, and then we pretend that this is all for the common good. It's just because we care so deeply about our seniors, and meanwhile we've got study after study about, at best, a lot of these prescription drugs that they're taking, at best doing nothing.
Yeah.
And when they do nothing, I think we should be happy.
Yeah, exactly, because I just covered a story yesterday that said the average FDA-approved pharmaceutical drug has 70 side effects listed on the label. Those are the ones they could just fit.
And I think we've become inured to this because we hear the side effects so often on TV. It's almost become like a joke. So because there's this government requirement, you've got to list all these things. But, of course, the listing of them makes people begin to think that, well, apparently every remedy for an ill is going to have 70 side effects. So I guess I should just tune out the side effects.
It's what happened is the listing of the 70 side effects numbs you, which is a side effect of listing the side effects to the side effects.
Right, exactly. And, you know, I mean, after I realized all the side effects of hair restoration medicines, I thought, you know what? I think I'd rather be bald. You know, there are worse things in the world than losing your hair.
No. You make almost bald look really cool.
Well, thank you.
Well, and by the way, there are some unapproved Ayurvedic herbal formulas that actually work, but don't look for the FDA to say it's okay.
Well, look, as long as I'm on your show, I would ask you, can you post or somewhere, I want to know what those are,
okay,
and I want to know some good memory boosts that are natural.
Memory boosts
as well.
I would
benefit from both.
All right, so I'm notching it out. Tom Woods has requested hair restoration and memory boost, so we're going to cover this.
I think I should have asked for the hair restoration privately.
No problem. Well, look, a lot of people, if you're asking, I'm asking, I'm concerned. We're all concerned about that. We're men. What do we want? And you've become quite a rock star for a so-called square that you call yourself.
Well, thank you.
In the field of freedom, you're a wonderful speaker, a noted historian, an all-around good guy, a great dad from what I hear. I can't wait to one day have my son and my kids meet you as well. It'll be a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to hearing more. I wish I could be there with you at Nullify Now in Los Angeles, but we've done a couple of them together at least now. Hopefully we'll do some more in the future. Once again, TomWoods.com. Anything we should look for those that can make it to L.A.?
Well, not only are we going to have a ton of great speakers, Stuart Rhodes and a lot of great guys, but we're going to have performances by great musicians, by sort of people who defy the conventional wisdom, who also do so in their music. It's just going to be a blast going until late night, until they close the doors on us. So, I mean, it's impossible for this not to be fun. You can check it out. I've got the details on the events page at tomwoods.com if you're interested.
Great, great. Well, I wish Yes were playing there. I realize we have a lot in common in our...
You betcha. But the consolation is I'll get to see them, albeit without John Anderson, in July.
Ah, man, I wish I could be there with you for that one. I'm going to have to see where they're going next. But anyway, Tom Woods, great friend of the program here on the Robert Scott Bell Show, standing up for health, freedom, and liberty on all levels. Check him out, nullifynow.com, as well as tomwoods.com. He'll be in this Saturday, Memorial Day weekend in Los Angeles. I'll be at the Survivalist Conference in Dallas, Fort Worth as well, and we got lots more healing to do. We'll have Tom Woods back from time to time whenever he's available, because the healing on political level, economic level, there's just not enough to go around. So thanks again, Tom, for being with me.
My pleasure, Rob.
All right, when we come back, we're going to find out what doctors are prescribing. And boy, oh boy, it's not a drug. Could this be good? It's controversial when we come back.
Giving the pharmaceutical industry cardiac arrest.
Clear.
It's the Robert Scott Bell Show.
For thousands of years, silver has played an essential role in safeguarding human health. Robert Scott Bell Show listeners know that Sovereign Silver Bioactive Silver Hydrosol is the purest and most effective form of silver available. Only Sovereign Silver contains the smallest and most active particles in every bottle, each batch rigorously safety tested to guarantee the highest quality. At only 10 parts per million, Sovereign Silver outperforms other colloidal silvers 50 times more concentrated. Sovereign Silver acts faster than echinacea, oil of oregano, and other immune products. Tastes like water and has more uses than anything else for the immune system. And Sovereign Silver now comes in a topical first aid gel. Use Sovereign Silver gel on cuts, scrapes, minor burns, bug bites, itching, eczema, diaper rash, and more. Sovereign Silver is the number one selling silver brand in the U.S. For a free information packet to order or for a store near you, call 888-328-8840. That's 888-328-8840 or visit sovereignsilver.com.
What do you think? Call Robert now at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL.
Hi, this is the Health Ranger here, inviting you to check out the Natural News Store. Yes, we have an amazing store offering superfoods and other healthy food items, including kitchen appliances like Vitamix blenders and food dehydrators, nut milk bags, lots of things for anyone who's interested in leading a healthier lifestyle. And here's another cool part about it. Because we have such a huge reach, millions of people a month that we're reaching who follow Natural News, we're able to get huge discounts on some really high-end superfoods and nutritional products. We offer those at ridiculously good prices on our specials page. You can find that right now at store.naturalnews.com. Just go to store.naturalnews.com and you'll see the current specials link on the left-hand column right at the top there. Click on that. You can check out the current specials. We've got superfoods at prices that are often 40 or 50% off. Check it all out at store.naturalnews.com.
Scott Bell Show. Are 70 side effects per drug not enough for you? Well, apparently they are to a doctor in England who's prescribing something radically different. Yes, prescribing Jesus. It gets a doctor censured, however. This is a story out of Margate, England, where a Christian doctor in England has been threatened with an official warning from his professional body for discussing Jesus with a patient, according to the London Sunday Times report. Richard Scott's a doctor for 28 years, now under investigation. You know, I'm thinking, you're coming to a doctor, and he could give you drugs that will kill you, or he could say, hey, have you tried Jesus? I think, even if you're not Christian, it's a little bit safer than the drug. We've talked about this for years. What do you think, Don?
Are you serious, Robert?
Yeah.
No, I mean, look, I know, I agree with you. I agree with you with the concept that perhaps Jesus
would be safer than taking a drug.
Less side effects. Come on. We got to at least acknowledge that. And you know, I'm not telling you the doc should beat the guy over the head with a Jesus stick. That's not what I'm saying. But look, if somebody comes in and they're depressed, and I've been in a situation where people have come to me and they've been in spiritual crisis. But you got to be careful here because you don't want to take advantage in a doctor-patient scenario.
You're not the typical doctor, though, Robert.
No.
I mean, I can't remember the last time. I mean, fortunately, I've been healthy for most of my life, so I haven't had to go to a doctor much.
Yeah.
But when I have gone to a doctor, I can't imagine, you know, if I walk in and say to the doctor, hey, you know, my stomach's kind of hurting. You know, I don't think I want to hear.
The power of Christ compels you.
That just doesn't sound right to me.
You know, I don't think that's where they were going with this. He wasn't coming in for an exorcism.
I don't go to a doctor to be told that
I'm just saying.
Jesus
I'm just,
is, you know, what's he going to write it on a prescription pad?
Well,
you know,
if it takes, yeah, but
five Hail Marys and call me in the morning? That just
listen, right. I'm just saying, I think that the side effect issue, you know, you could end up dead of a drug and a guy is finally a benign doctor. You know, you don't have to accept it or not, but at least he's not going to kill you.
Well, what if I'm not Christian? What if I'm a Buddhist or I'm a Hindu or something?
Well,
when somebody says, hey, you know, I think Jesus can help you with your arthritis. I mean, that just doesn't make sense to me.
I'd rather be offended than dead of a drug. That's just my opinion. And like I said, and I'm not saying that the guy could have been Hindu and talked about Hindu things too. Or he could have been Jewish and talked about, hey, have you read the Torah?
I just don't think that works in a doctor's office, you know? I don't want to walk into the doctor's office and hear, yeah, hit yourself in the head with the board and call me in the morning. That doesn't sound right to me.
Okay, I think you're taking it to a different area. I guess I'm just so deferring to the point of safety. I'm so tired and sick of I'm not using the term sick properly here, but hearing of all these disastrous side effects, which are direct effects of the drug that are killing hundreds of thousands of people around the world, I'm thinking, here's a benign doctor. You don't have to accept what he believes, but it's a nicer concept, I guess, and maybe you can have a non-denominational doctor offering some. I don't know. I'm just trying to think outside
but
the
honestly,
box.
Honestly, Robert, do you think in just a regular doctor's office,
yeah,
you know, I'm not talking about a holistic doctor because I don't think that's what this doctor was.
No, he's a regular medical doctor, according to the story, yeah.
I mean, do you really think that it's really the place of the doctor to bring up religion as a solution to a medical condition?
Well, maybe he should advertise he's a Christian doctor, and that might be off-putting to some. Maybe they wouldn't be confronted with that. But he's not coming knocking on your door with, you know, the end of the world pamphlets. I think this is largely benign. I mean, I think we get here. I'm sensitive about these issues too, because, you know, I don't want to proselytize. I don't want people proselytizing to me. You know, I want people live by example. But if you're in a crisis, I know this from, you know, helping people out. Sometimes people are in a crisis. They don't need a drug. They're depressed. They need some spirituality. Okay, maybe it's not appropriate for the doctor. I don't know, but I'm just thinking this is a lot better than most of them that'll put you on a psychiatric drug like Watson, the computer from the other day that wanted me on Prozac just simply because I was upset about talking about people harmed by vaccines.
I'll give you that.
Well, there's other stories in the news. I think there's a bizarre one. You might have some personal experience with this. Vuvuzelas are now blamed for spreading disease. What next?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're calling them a giant spit cannon that can spread the flu and tuberculosis when they're being used in groups of people.
A spit cannon?
Are you familiar with the vuvuzela?
They're loud, nasty instruments. You see them at soccer matches, right?
World Cup 2010. This is what it sounded like.
Oh, man.
It's like a swarm of killer bees or something. It was absolutely insane. You couldn't hear anybody talking. You couldn't hear the announcer. You couldn't hear. It was just this droning sound that just annoyed the heck out of everybody.
Yeah, I think you need to go to that doctor for some Jesus after that.
Maybe so, yeah. Gabriel with his vuvuzela calling down the angels.
Well, you have experience. You don't have TB. You have a vuvuzela, so I'm calling BS on that story.
It just so happens I brought one in here with me. This is actually my son's, and I actually know how to use it.
Oh, you did it again. We just lost our last listener heading into Healing Revolution Friday tomorrow. Thanks a lot, Don.
Sorry, they are kind of fun. They just make your lips numb.
No Dizzy Gillespie here from Don on the Robert Scott Bell Show. Listen, I've had a good time today. There have been some really intense discussions with Liam Sheff. We had a great, great couple of segments with Tom Woods. And we're looking forward to a healing revolution and a lot of surprise guests tomorrow, including Dr. Frank King here on the Robert Scott Bell Show. So thanks for being with me. Don, thank you as always. If you've got an opinion about anything we've said today, that's 866-939-BELL. Let us know. And until then, the power to heal is yours.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hello, this is Jonathan Wagner. We have an internet website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, that carries many of the products discussed on Robert's show, including the 100% whole food chromium and selenium, silica, as well as sovereign silver and Nordic naturals. Choosetobehealthy.com features the Rolls Royce of probiotics. It's Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. Dr. O'Hara, a world-renowned microbiologist, formulated a unique probiotic that blends ancient Japanese fermentation methods with 21st century technology. No refrigeration is needed. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics contains the strongest lactic acid bacteria known to man based on scientific laboratory research. 6.25 times stronger. Quite simply, it works and works very well. So go to our website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, or call us toll-free, 866-424-1077. That's 866-424-1077. We're here to help.
Hey there, this is Mike. Got a couple of things you may want to check out. Did you know about the website counterthink.com? These are some really hilarious, freedom-oriented, health-oriented, even political cartoons that you got to check out. Counterthink.com. And if you want to know what's in your food, go check out foodinvestigations.com, where you've got a bunch of free mini documentaries, little videos there that you can watch that will show you what's in your food and what's not in your food. We talk about Total Blueberry Pomegranate Cereal made by General Mills. Did you know it has no blueberries in it and no pomegranates? We got the video right there on foodinvestigations.com. And if you really want to know what's in your food, your medicine, your personal care products, and so on, head over to naturalnews.com. We're publishing about 12 articles a day now, everything from healing superfoods to the dangerous chemicals in your products, foods, and medicines. Naturalnews.com. Check it out.